We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete in the Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that national championship.
Welcome on into the boardroom. It is Josh joined by Johnny. In a few minutes, I believe Robert will be joining as he will be talking for the first time in a couple weeks. But this is after Illinois beats Northwestern 96-66, an absolute blowout in which legitimately I don't think I could say one bad thing about any of the players who played tonight. Marcus Domask went off. Quincy Guerrier played like an absolute super senior that he is. It was one of maybe my favorite basketball games I've watched in the last few years, to be honest. And it was just an all-around team effort. And it's pretty cool to see this team respond the last two games the way that they have.
We need that so bad as Illinois fans. This has been a tough week. Like, we were on cloud nine after Missouri. Then the Terrence news comes out. And you really wonder how the team is going to respond. And at least through these first two games, it's just every single guy stepping up. And it's been like incredible to watch. Almost every single player on the team shot over 50%. The only person who didn't was Luke Goody, who shot 2 for 5. And like Luke Goody had like three straight like hustle rebound plays against Northwestern. It's like, how could you not love Luke Goody after that? Like,
yeah,
what an awesome, like, epitomizing next man up, guys just stepping up. Like, just really proud of the guys who are on this team. It's really interesting. Like, some people may say Illinois has depth. I don't know exactly what the word is, because now we're pretty much running a six-man rotation plus Dane. But every single guy of those six is like, all right, I'm taking on more responsibility. Okay, like, just Harmon continues to drill threes. I mean, today Domask in the half court was just an absolute beast. And also want to give a huge credit to coaching. It seemed like Brad put on a clinic, and they were just meticulous in knowing this is the trap that Northwestern plays. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to post up. We're going to pass out of it. Quincy cutting multiple times, dunking, getting floaters. So then Northwestern says, hey, you know what we can't do is we can't trap the post. So what happens? Then Marcus Domask just goes to town, and he's mismatched every time. We've got smaller guys on them, and boom, just dismantling them. So that was
It was funny to watch Marcus after every single play, because he would turn around from this like hook shot that he would have, or like just some type of fadeaway that was mid-range, and he'd be like, they legitimately cannot guard me. Like, I am unconscious right now. And he was smiling at our bench, I would assume. Yeah, it was definitely our bench. He was just smiling, being like, yeah, this is my game. Just keep feeding me. And I think they came out the second half after he made his first one. They're like, yeah, we're just going to do like four guys on one side of the court and one guy on the other side. It's Marcus backing down, and he'll either find the open man or he's going to make his turnaround jumper. And it was one of the most impressive basketball performances I've seen. It was really cool. Wait, you said six-man rotation? Like, Justin Harmon's fully in the rotation.
That's what I'm saying. We have six guys and Dane. Like, six guys who play all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dane. But that's pretty much it. Like, yes, not including Terrence. But with this team right now,
yes,
like, you're short ahead. I was a little worried. We were both texting about this. Like, hey, we're up 30, Brad. Why are you keeping all these guys in? Like, let's give everyone a rest, because you're about to go through the grind of a Big Ten season and you don't know how deep your team's going to be. But like, Sincere Harris, redshirt, Nicolo, hurt, no Terrence. And let's just say like DGL and Amani are freshmen and you can't really like trust them in extended minutes. So like, it's going to be a really tight rotation. And don't we have one open scholarship too? So like, you're basically playing a six-man rotation for the foreseeable future. So I would love if we could give our guys some rest, but Brad's going to do what Brad's going to do.
Yeah, it seemed like from a Twitter reaction of people that were at the game, maybe the beat writers, saw like when we were I think we were up like 25 at this point, but like Quincy maybe took a minute off where he wasn't playing as intense as he was the entire rest of the game. Like they were going off, like Brad apparently was going off at him, and then Quincy turns around and hits like a step back three.
Yeah, yeah.
So like whatever Brad was saying obviously was like, yeah, we weren't playing as hard, and then he just hits a three in his face. But I mean, pretty all around amazing performance from this team. We do want to quickly just address, we are one, not lawyers. We are two, not in any sort of situation where we could have any reasonable comment about what's going on with Terrence. Like, we're not just brushing it off. This is not our job. Our job is not to focus on that situation. It's in a really unfortunate situation. But what I really don't like on Illinois Twitter right now is treating this situation like it's a three-star recruit from Ohio. This is a very serious situation. And the fact that we're hearing like one thing on one message board versus one thing on another, getting text messages from our friends being like, I heard from this person, that's that. This is not that time. Like, it's that time when it's Ohio three-star recruit, but it's not now.
It's hard because that's what our instincts are as fans, to just... We go back to what we know, and that's like, oh, I'm hearing from this source. Like, no, this is not something that like you are feeling out. And like, same thing, like, oh, we're maybe it's just like we're bargaining in our head, trying to like figure out an outcome in which is like plausible for us. But like, ideally, none of us have any of the facts in this. So like conspiring whether or not Terrence is innocent or whether or not he's going to get back at a certain time, it's like, it's a very helpless feeling, but probably something we should avoid doing, because
it's not our job to figure out. Yes. Because if he's guilty, I don't want to be associated with Illinois basketball. If he's innocent, then let's make sure the process plays out the way that it is. Right.
Exactly. Like, exactly. And like, it's natural as a fan to be curious, but like, let's not like just immediately jump to conclusions right now. Let's just let it play out. Hopefully, everything works out, but
yeah,
really just the facts and the truth and all that need to come out.
Like just comes out, like, in justice, for whatever justice is.
Yeah, served. exactly.
And I think just another comment, Whitman's and it seems like Brad have been handling great for the facts that we know, which is great to see from our university, that like when something is found out, it is addressed in a proper manner. And that was great to hear from them. But with all of that going on, and with all of the for a normal, I think Maddie always says it, what a normal 18 to 22 year old does on the day to day, having to come out with two performances like that from all of the players that do play for our basketball team right now, as the Fairleigh Dickens game, putting up 100 points against a really bad team, but like just doing that like within 48 hours of hearing the news was awesome. And then this game, putting up that performance against your in-state rival is, I mean, I'm kind of shook.
It's crazy, because like, this is such a serious thing, and such a thing that is so demoralizing, like as a fan, at least. Like, Bricker texted me, like, my limbs couldn't move for 3 hours after like hearing the news. And like, I remember my immediate reaction seeing like a Derek Piper tweet being like, this has to be fake, right? And then you're just like, what is going on? You're just kind of in depression. So the way that these kids have responded to this has been awesome. So really, really proud of them, and also really proud of everyone just kind of like not really addressing it and jumping to conclusions on the team. Like, you don't hear guys on the team being like, free Terrence or anything like that. Like,
yeah, it's so not comparable. Like, but Michigan's, after they were like,
the astounding thing. Like, you've had coaches suspended, you've had coaches fired, like their linebackers coach was fired, and they're all like, we're the victims in all of this. Not the case at Illinois. The tone at the top has been, hey, this is a really serious thing. Like, sexual assault, rape is antithetical to this institution, something we take very seriously, and glad that like Whitman had put in practices in place that would remove any bias from Brad. And everyone's kind of at least saying the right things. Hopefully behind closed doors, it's the same thing. So proud of the team for seemingly acting like really mature adults throughout this, while the fans are being fans.
Yes. As fans typically are. I mean, to start the way that this team did, you would think that there potentially could be a step back. And like, I think in the back of our mind, like maybe even like the first games of the season with Terrence, like there was always that thing in the back of the mind, like this was the same team as last year, but Robert, who's going to join shortly, always was like, just no, give it up, free it up. This team is actually good. Now we have that same like little, like we just had two great performances. Mm-hmm. Like what in the back of your mind, you're probably still thinking like, we still don't have that go-to score. Like, down the stretch, mm-hmm. who are we going to be giving the ball to? I mean, after today's performance, it's pretty clear who the ball should be going to in Domas, but
I know. Part of me, like, I've been doing a lot of in-brain calculations, all this stuff. I was nervous as hell before this Northwestern game.
For sure.
I was like, shit, okay, like, I think we're like, they beat Purdue. Like, this is a team, we're not 100%. Like, this could be a really tough game, a game you don't want to lose at home. And they balled out.
They did. And do you know what's been really good? And I was going to text you at various points throughout the game saying this exact comment. So I was like, since we're doing a podcast, I'll probably just say it. But the entire game, like, it was maybe an A++ performance from Coleman Hawkins. Defense, offense, he was everywhere that needed to be, like, he needed to be. The blocks were also very cool. He took maybe one shot that was like, yeah, don't need to. Maybe don't take that shot, but he was feeling it. So like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, but his energy and there's like an inherent leadership from him with his energy. I think Quincy could be like the more calming older presence, but Coleman being around the program for so often, he kind of does wear orange and blue on his sleeve. And it does show.
100%. It was an awesome Coleman performance. You could hear the announcers talking about it all game. Just the defense was incredible. Like, he's a really interesting center in that he's really good at things that most centers are not good at. And sometimes he's not great at things that most centers are good at. Like, he's not a great back to the basket guy. He's not a great rebounder. But what he is great at is he can switch 1 through 5. There were multiple times he gets switched onto Boo Booey and just like giving Bowie a difficult time. Same thing with, he can shoot the ball. He can stretch the ball. Like, I was listening to Brad's either pregame press conference before Northwestern or the postgame after Colgate, after he went 5 for 7. And he made the comment, Coleman is the best shooting big man in the country, the best shooting center in the country. And my jaw dropped because I'm like, I'm the biggest Coleman fan in the world, and I don't think I would be saying that. So, like, Brad saying that is really, like, he does say that a lot about this guy's elite, that guy's elite. But then I was thinking about it and just kind of looking at the stats, like, there aren't many centers in college basketball who shoot threes. Like,
right.
Most of the centers just don't shoot threes. And Coleman being able to do that, like, really does open it up in offense. And once again, 2 for 5 for 3 tonight, like he was awesome. So I'm proud of him. And what's nice is this team complements him in a way where it's like, okay, is he not the best rebounder? Yes. But you know who rebounds better than he should at his position is Quincy, is Ty Rogers, is Luke Goody, Marcus Domask. So like, same thing. This team doesn't have a true point guard, but every single player is an above average passer. So you kind of like make up for the differences of the players. And now we have live from the State Farm Center, Robert Rosenthal himself. Welcome on the pod, Robert.
Johnny, you just said it all, so I don't really have to say anything. That was really good.
Thank you. What was the environment in there like tonight?
Johnny, you've got the Julie from Time Life Books headset now. I'm not used to this. I'm used to not having that headset, but I didn't know you had it too.
Since we're all in different locations now, we have to use Zoom mostly instead of your fancy device you generously got for us. And we're like, let's probably invest in some microphones for our Zooms.
I hear you. Yeah, it was, I'm still just like stunned. Like, I don't know what to, like, you guys know my mood and know how, like, you know, how emotive I am and all this stupid, idiotic stuff. And, like, there's no greater balm to put on that wound than a game like this. Like, I am still stunned. It's all I've been texting people. Like, Coleman wasn't even – Coleman. So I've sat courtside for how many Coleman Hawkins games? 75? Something like that. Like, I've watched his face during a game at least 80 times. And this was totally different. Like, he was so focused. I mean, he still did some of his, like, that was a bad call, ref kind of stuff. But he was so dialed in. Like, he was so focused and, like, predicting, like, yep, and I'm going to hit that pass. And, like, it was just, I'm standing there, like, open-jawed. Like, I don't, like, this is kind of crazy how they all just went through what they went through. You know, tears in their eyes, I'm sure, for what has happened and their teammate and how this came about and what will happen to everything. And then they turn around against a decent opponent and look like that. I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
We've been pretty much saying like words like we are stunned this entire podcast so far. Like that was just I did see you like kind of respond this to someone else, even though we tweeted about 2 minutes earlier saying that this game reminds you directly of the Michigan COVID game. We tweeted that first, but it was
I gotta get you off mute. I'm just kidding.
it was very clear that they just like were just at a different level that they were the whole season. It was so much fun to watch too. And I think the crowd also, they from the start, I know we started off very strong, but they from the start kind of like fed the energy that you typically don't see during a break game. Like that, the crowd felt alive. I don't know if that was just how it came off on TV or if it actually felt like that in the stadium.
Yes, it was. The crowd was a little muted, just like, The heaviness of all this hasn't gone away. It was like that Friday night, and like, you know, there's still some reserve to everything. But, you know, as the game went along, like there was one moment, I don't remember what moment it was in a game, but we had taken the lead and like big player hit a three, and you could hear the noise coming down from up top. Like the 200 level, like we're on their feet, like, all right, let's get a defensive stop and push this lead even higher. And it kind of trickled down. And I remember those moments in the past of how, you know, they'd be on their feet up top and it would force people down below to get on their feet. And that was very, it was just great to see. Like, I'm still in this mood of, like, struggling to believe what I saw because you start to watch their body language and you start to watch the crowd then get into it, and then DeMath scores again, and the crowd's into it a little more, and you still have these fears of like, yeah, but we don't have Shannon, and what if we go cold on offense, and then more, and you know, it just the way it developed and the way it grew, I can't remember covering a game like this, especially after that. I think you're right, the closest comp is what everyone was expecting at Michigan, and then what we got. Granted, that was number two, and this is a team that's, I don't know, maybe NIT. I don't know how good Northwestern is, but yeah, it was that feeling of like I thought we might win, but I didn't expect that. I didn't expect anything close to that.
Yeah, and I mean, we've just been saying like we're stunned by how resilient this team is, and like you had tweeted about it too, where it's like here us on the couch are just like, we can't move and we're paralyzed. And here these kids are just absolutely dialed in. And just, I know in my brain, I'm trying to calculate, like, what does this mean for the next 18 Big Ten games? Is this like an emotional short-term dialed in response? Or is this like something that's sustainable for 18 games? I don't know. Like, I think the Io injury was like the perfect length of time for guys to step up. And then our team maybe not to get figured out, or just like you had your star return. With Terrence's situation, we have no idea whether or not he'll be out the rest of the season or if he'll return. So with that, we can't really project out like, hey, what exactly this means for the next 18 games, but that's at least what's going through my brain. But it was like, you have to give so much credit to the staff. Like they picked Northwestern apart. They knew, like, here's the big tendency of they're trapping the post. Okay, we're immediately going to pass out of it, cut it. Like, Quincy's going to be in the right spots. The big men are going to know to pass. And then when they know they can't trap the post, Marcus is just going to take advantage of them. So it seemed like it was also just like a good matchup for us. So we'll see how the next 18 games turn out.
Yes. I think the biggest, like, during the game, I thought about, you guys are probably too young for this. I thought about the tournament in 09. So, I don't know how much you would know of this, but,
Chester.
Yes. Chester gets injured. Western Kentucky was actually favored in Vegas in that game because of Chester's injury. Like, we, without Chester, we were bad in the Big Ten tournament. We still got a 5 seed. Western Kentucky was a 12 seed, but because we didn't have Chester Frazier, Western Kentucky was favored and Western Kentucky won. And there was this Chester Frazier, his defense is the heart and soul of his team. And without him, what are you going to do? So I have all these memories of how remove one player, especially your most important player. And it really is like over. Like, even Vegas knew that the 12 seed was going to beat the 5 seed because we didn't have our lockdown defender and heart and soul. And so that's why, you know, FDU, whatever, this game was like, wait, it's like 1.52 points per possession. Like, this is, like, has Ken Pom updated? Has anybody refreshed it?
Yeah, Ken Pom has updated. We're up to 8th now.
And what's offense? Offense was 12th. Like 19 before the game.
Now 12th. We're 12th on offense, yeah. 18th on defense.
Yeah, 12th on offense. Like, without Terry Shannon, we just jumped 7 spots on KenPom offense. Like, that's what's like, wait.
Yeah, exactly. You were like, projected to win that game by 10. Mm-hmm. With, I'm assuming, with the projections of Terrence being in there, and you won by 30.
Yes. Vegas had it at what, 6.5? What was the line? Something like that. And win by 30.
Yeah.
And it's not that Northwestern's some great team. It's just, I don't know. Like, you know, so I had a friend text me with Patrick Ewing theory. You guys familiar with Patrick Ewing theory?
Yeah.
Thing, you know, like, you know, lose your best player and, hold on, this guy's trying to, let's go, guys. So I gotta turn around and flash the old, check it out. What's up? I got the tag. You can't kick me out. Ewing theory, if anybody listening isn't familiar, is Bill Simmons' theory that because every player believes they have to play a little better when your star is out, you actually get a better product because everyone is so focused that you can be better without your star. Doesn't really hold up, but, you know, it's not like Kobe was out of the playoffs one year, the Lakers would have just rolled or something like that. It doesn't hold like that, but, you know, there is something to everyone saying, I've got to step up now. And that's kind of what this was. Like, that was the feeling of the whole thing. Harmon with 20, 4 for 5 from 3, you know, Coleman's defense, Damask, you know, Johnny, like we talked about in New York City, of, you know, having that kind of performance. You know, even other role guys and Dane doing what Dane does and everything else. Like, it was just, I don't know, like, everyone was focused, locked in, and playing better, and I was just stunned. I'm just, like, can't believe what I saw. I can't believe how much it brought me out of my, why do I care how this makes me feel if these guys who have been personally affected by the whole thing can put it aside, focus, and destroy their opponent, then I need to be fully focused on these guys. Quincy's over here. He's greeting all the guy. Quincy's a great guy. I mean, right now in front of me, he's greeting, saying what's up to all the security guys who are making sure everybody leaves the arena. So, I don't know. It's just it's a great team, man. It's a group of great guys, and what Underwood's talking about is very real. And it's playing out in front of us.
With like 5 minutes left, were you also kind of going insane that we're up 30 and our 6-man rotation didn't bleed, like, didn't give way to any of the freshmen or just non-rotation players?
that one timeout was like 7 minutes ago or whatever when Underwood took it.
Yeah,
was a you guys took 90 seconds off there timeout. Okay. Yeah. You know, he was very like, you can't do that. He got in Quincy's face as he was coming off the court for that timeout, and he was very like, you know, it was a moment he wanted to teach of like, hey, you can't just like, oh, we're up pretty good, let's just, you know. But there were two missed assignments on the defensive end, and Underwood got up and clapped and stomped his foot on both of them. And when they came off the court, he wanted that timeout to correct it, basically to say, this is what we talk about. You've had 33 great minutes, but then you have two bad minutes, and we have to play 40 minutes when we're playing great opponents and that kind of thing. So that's why I think he left them out there to say, go, you need to go prove to me that you're not going to just take it easy once we're up 30.
Okay, that makes sense, because I was like sitting there watching Coleman winded, like, hey, Dane Danger hasn't played in the second half. Can we give this guy a break? Like, we're basically going to be a 6-7 man rotation for the foreseeable future in an 18 game Big Ten grind. Like, let's get our dudes out of there. Like, for whatever reason, we're playing DGL when it's like a 10-point game in the first half, but then we're up 30 and we're not playing him.
Yep. So yep. It was 100%. I think he would have, at that point in a 30-point game, he usually goes to, you know, put Hansberry and DGL in or whatever. But that was very much intentional to teach a lesson of 40 minutes is 40 minutes, and you can't just, you know, get lackadaisical.
Yeah. And I mean, I have no idea how to evaluate this team. If you were ranking this team in the top 25, there's no doubt we are a better basketball team with Terrence Shannon Jr., who is playing at an All-American level. But
yes,
how do you say, at least through these first two games, with the on-court performances, like, that this is not a team worthy of being close to the top 10? Yeah. I guess the games will play themselves out, but it's so confusing.
It's so funny that it was the Northwestern beat writer, not my dad, Steve Greenberg, even though that is my dad's name, who is the one who unranked us this week. But glad he gets to see that performance for that non-ranked. I think someone else said thoughts and prayers to his mentions today.
Yes, I'm sure. Sure. I know Steve a little bit. I should send him a DM and ask him what it's been like. I'm sure it's been. Yes, we are not the online Twitter fan base known for leaving those things alone. So.
Our favorite trolls are probably having a deservedly fun time.
Yes. Yeah, and don't think they're not projecting anything that's going on right now. Be like, I'm unhappy about one thing. Now Steve Greenberg is going to feel my unhappiness.
I think the best way I can frame my thoughts toward this is like, when we're saying that, and when we're talking about our ranking and Johnny, what you just said, of, you know, like, is this the top 10 team? You know, like, that's the battle in my head tonight that I keep thinking, like, okay, but right, we have Purdue on Friday. It's a long, 18 more Big Ten games to go. We're going to have one of those moments like we're at, I don't know if you can hear that, but Damask and Harmon just came out to join. Oh, Quincy's over there with his baby.
Oh my God.
Oh, they came out to see the baby. Oh, this is, gosh, I wish I could, maybe I should be filming this. No, it's a private moment.
It's definitely a private moment.
Yes, yes. Can you bleep that later?
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's just something about, you know, Harmon and Damask come out to meet, or I'm sure they've seen before, but see Quincy's baby. And, like, I don't know. Like, none of these guys were here last year. And now they're acting like, you know, it's just, I'm watching it here and I'm narrating, but it's really neat to see them. And the three, looks like two of the families are there, maybe a couple parents. Anyway, just to see them interact of, like, this is the transfer portal, right? The three guys we got from the transfer portal now just did that on the court and are hanging out and meeting Quincy's baby here in the stands. It's really cool. Anyway, the point I was making is like, I'm still fighting that. We're all still fighting that, right? But it's 18 games, right? Let's, you know, this would mean we should probably have been a number one seed if we had Shannon, if the team is this good without him. How, you know, that whole, like, how do we scale this? What do we say? What are we going to be like? We're only seven guys. What do we do when we get in foul trouble? We're having all those thoughts. And that's probably the great thing about this whole week, you know, what tonight was, is that, like, they're proving this, like, I would have said 95% chance I would come out of tonight saying, okay, it was okay, but let's be honest, it's going to be hard and we're really thin and we don't have depth and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And here I am like, no, I think we're really good. Like, we had that 5% chance performance that would make people sit up and say, no, we're mature and good. And those things that, like, Dennis Gates was saying after the Mizzou game of, like, yeah, guys, this is a Final Four team. Like, you don't understand how good that is. Like, I know basketball. They're really freaking good. You know, that's just – I just keep recalibrating. And that's – it's knocked me out of my doldrums. And it's just been – it's been a really great night.
Nothing to help a calibration like playing the number one team in the country on Friday.
No kidding.
At their gym. Which part of me is like, is this the best time for this game to happen? Is it the worst time for this game to happen? I don't know. Like, this is your hardest game on your schedule. So
yes,
maybe it's a good thing to just take your lumps, automatic loss. And like in one scenario where Terrence Shannon comes back to this team, you're like, great. Like, that was a discard game. Like, mm-hmm. You're already going to lose it. You might as well, like, have an easier, like, explanation of that loss on your resume. Then there's mm-hmm. the other thought of, like, this team that currently exists is still not, like, fully scouted. And
yes,
the team that you had, like, a double-digit amount of, like, body of work to scout against, you knew their tendencies, that team is now out the door, and you're focused on this other team. So Purdue's a little, like, not as prepared as they would be.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing? And you still have, like, the emotional high of what's kind of gone on these past two games, and everyone's still so locked in. So maybe it's the perfect time to play them.
That's a good question.
Keep going back and forth.
I'm sitting here and I can't help but think, like, a scenario exists where we go into West Lafayette, beat number one, and end up like number four in the polls next week. Like,
yeah,
you know, without Terrence Shannon. Like, that's a real thing that I can say without hesitation, you know. So I'm speechless tonight. I wrote this afternoon or this morning that I, you know, finding words is difficult and just feels weird to talk sports when all this mess is going on. And I come out of here tonight and, like, taking their lead, I guess, is the best way to say it. Like, these guys who have actually had to deal with it, put it all aside and dominated a team that beat Purdue 3 weeks ago. So it's just, I'm pretty speechless. It's a good feeling. And sitting here seeing Quincy and his baby and Damask and, you know, other people, like, I don't know. It's a very warm feeling for how to see these guys have responded to all that's gone on.
Totally agree. On Friday's game, I was just thinking, like, this is probably it has to be, like, the way that we do win that game is a Dane game, like, or just like a Dane contributes more than he needs yes. to, like, usually does. But mm-hmm. like, maybe I'm just being a dumb basketball brain, and like, this team just put up, not averaged 100 points over the last two games with that. Well, yeah. Dane, it was a Dane game last game. So
yeah,
I feel like it has to be.
I don't know. I'm confused because one, you do need Dane to like body up against, say, like Zach Edey and maybe some spot minutes. Coleman can't play 40 minutes. But like, if you remember that game against Purdue last year, we kind of wrote the playbook for Fairleigh Dickinson, which was just go small and press them. And we almost came all the way back against them. Uh-huh. So my guess is Brad leans into that and says, hey, Like, you can't beat them at their game. Let's beat them at our game and really just, like, use our length against them and trap Edie. I mean, Northwestern beat them. And how did they beat that? They trap Edie. Like, I don't know if, like, throwing the traditional Dane big at them is the way to beat them, but I don't know.
It's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking, like, you know, at some point, fouls have to matter, right? Like, these are road games in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a Coleman 2003 minutes sits for 17. It's going to happen at some point here, you know, like when you only have seven guys you're rotating, it's in the tournament, you can get away with it. Kind of, most people tighten their rotations and do that in conference play. It's going to bite at some point. So, like, you know, that's the main feeling toward, you know, what this game can be, is that it's Zach Edey. It's Coleman, who's had foul trouble before. It's Dane, who's had foul trouble before. Purdue's going to try to, you know, it's home, Big Ten refs in West Lafayette, with Purdue being number one. And, you know, I can see those calls going their way, and I can already see my frustration from Friday night. at some point we're going to, if you have a 7-man rotation, you're in the Big Ten and you're going on the road, we have 9 Big Ten road games left. 5 of them are going to be foul trouble games, and we just have to accept it and deal with it. And it's going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Hey, today was a foul trouble game. Ty Rogers, foul trouble.
That's right.
Your number one boo-boo-y stopper out of the game.
Yes, and we only won by 30. I mean, they hit 7 of 7 shots there late in the game to cut a 33-point lead to 30. Like, it's just insane. It is insane what they did. Now, Underwood in the post-game radio thing that was playing just before I joined you guys, you know, he was very like, look, we made a lot of shots tonight. Like, basically, Harmon's not going to go 4 for 5 from 3 every night. You know, like, when you make shots, this is what you look like. But he was saying, we made shots, and we did this, and we rebounded, and we cut off their thing, and we forced them into a boo-boo. He has to dribble around and shoot, you know, and Coleman was great. And so that was his whole point. But, yes, there was a when shots fall, basketball feels like this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, 65% from 2s, 55% from 3s, and 80% at the free throw line.
Just like we drew it up.
Yeah.
Just as what we all expected in the offseason.
Yeah, we were never worried about that, the shooting percentages
never.
Throughout the first
Nor
two games
were
of
we
this.
Concerned about not having a point guard. No one had any concerns going into this season.
Oracle, last time – oh, this might be a dumb question, actually.
Oh, ask it now. Now you paused. You have to ask.
Yeah, no, I think I already have the answer. Last time we had a top 10 matchup where we're both, I guess that says what it is, a top 10 matchup, like where we're both ranked in
both
the top 10.
Top 10.
It would be the Ohio State game.
You're thinking, are you thinking like the COVID Ohio State game, like Big Ten championship?
Yes. They were like 7, we were 2, or we were 3. That's the last 10 top 10, because since then, I just looked it up tonight, the only other game where we are a top 10 team was Marquette in 21 when we lost at Marquette with
that
Kofi.
Game was awful.
Yeah, with Kofi's the first game with Kofi back, or no, was Kofi out for that game?
Kofi was out that game.
Yeah that game that we lost to Marquette, but they weren't ranked. So the last top 10 matchup, I think, was Ohio State Big Ten tournament final.
Right.
Were you thinking Michigan game out loud?
I was thinking Michigan game. I didn't think Ohio State was actually ranked that high.
Yeah, I know they were 7 when we played them.
I mean, they were
them.
A 2 seed. Yeah.
Right.
I know they were 7 when we played them after Michigan. So it was like Wisconsin on Saturday, then Michigan on Tuesday, then at Ohio State on Saturday. And that was like number 4 versus number 7 or something like that. I don't know if they stayed in the top 10 for then the matchup in the Big Ten tournament, but I mean, maybe even Iowa was in the semifinal game.
Yeah.
They were a two seed that year.
Probably.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm the last human being here. You see this? I'm going to walk out on the court here. Can you hear my feet?
No.
I'm making very loud click-clack noises. Okay, here you go. I'm coming out to center court. This is great podcasting since you don't put up any video. I'm just going to walk out to the center court and show you gentlemen. There it is.
So pretty.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
I mean, I know you're annoyed with like how they're not, the sections aren't lined up, but it's still very pretty.
I mean, if you could just take that aisle and go all the way up, you had a chance to fix it. Can I just note something and then I'm going to get off here because I got to drive home and write about this game.
Go for it.
Can I just note? It's like this is, my life's pretty damn cool. Can I just say that out loud? Like, how am I standing at center court right now? Like, what the hell life thing happened that I'm allowed to do this? I have this thing hanging around my neck that I can walk out here. Like, this was a dream as a child, and it's just kind of coming over me to be standing in a completely empty State Farm Center at center court, and nobody can kick me out because I kind of belong here. So I think I'm going to bid you adieu with that thought. And I'm going to give you another glance of how beautiful this place is and how quiet it is.
John Hare just smiling while you give us this little spiel, plus showing us the State Farm Center.
When you
panned
around to like the stadium, it definitely gave me some chills there too. It's just
hell
like,
yes, and because we don't use video, it is a moment shared by only the three of us.
And okay. Do you know what I see up there? Oh, from your view, I can see Kofi's banner that was raised. Everyone's been talking about the banner that was raised with no one noticing.
Yes, I asked tonight. They still plan to have an event when they can get him here.
Yeah.
So they'll bring it down and then raise it back up. But sure. It's just getting him here from Taiwan.
Cool.
So, yep.
Not the easiest. All right. Well, thank you, Robert, for joining.
You guys
appreciate
go
it.
Do the rest of your thing, and I'm going to go home and write about this.
Awesome. Thanks again.
All right.
Well. All right, well, Robert explained that pretty well. I feel like he captures how it felt like inside the arena. He was as shocked as we were about tonight's game. Johnny, you got anything else to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be it's fun that this team just responded the way it did, and hopefully it's a really fun next few months. Like, the Big Ten, the grind of a Big Ten season these past few years has just been, like, so much fun. You just get into this cadence of like two games a week. It's a battle against this team, it's a battle against that team.
So yeah, when the Terrence news came out, to me, like, in my brain, the season was over. So it's really nice to see that we still have something to play for, and the way that those guys responded, like, we have a Big Ten season to look forward to, and we have a team that still might be there in March, even if right now we're not 100% sure what's going on. So really excited about that, and excited for just like to see this season play out, because it seemed like everything was kind of like taken away from us.
It probably will be like eventually when we look down at the season, whatever happens, like as a what if season. But like, me and you, for the 5 years we were in college, we dreamed of having a competitive team throughout Big Ten season that would have very good players that we are excited to root for, and are most likely going to have a shot at March Madness. This team right now is obviously on pace for it, with the current way that there's only six players or seven players that we're really trusting. It's challenging to see where they were going to stack up. It's probably like, potentially, we'll see how they play against Purdue. Like, it could be still a top 3-4 seed, but even if it's like a 7, 8, or 9, it's still like what we did dream of. It will probably eventually be a what if season, but I mean, for the time being, I think it's going to be fun to enjoy these players, because we know that after tonight's last two performances, they've been putting their all in, and so there's no reason why we shouldn't.
Exactly. We'll be behind. We'll be all in, you know?
All in, as always. Well, appreciate everyone for listening. We will talk to you on the next episode. ILL.